during the Olympics, you know, we have athletes from all over the world. How many of you like to watch the Olympics? We have some Olympics fan over here. But you know, like the Summer Olympics. I don't watch the Winter Olympics. I don't care much about them, or I watch the other ones. So, you know, they're athletes from all over the world. They train. They get ready because their main goal is to represent the nation that they come from, to honor that nation. So to win a medal, a gold, whatever, silver, bronze, so that they can say, I put my nation in the map. Everybody heard my nation. So they come and they go through rigorous training, get ready, you know, because they know I'm representing my country. They send those athletes in the distinct disciplines to compete and bring honor to the countries or nations that they each represent. My friends, why am I telling you that? Because, you know, following Jesus, it's like running a race. I mean, in fact, the Bible talks about the moment you say yes to Jesus, the moment that you allow, that you make the decision to follow Jesus, you enter that race. You are in a race right now. The moment you say, yes, Lord, I believe in you, I'm baptized into your name, you are part of this race. We're running. And we are to represent him. And you know how it is. Like, I mean, I, as an athlete or as a follower of Jesus, you go through times that it's hard to run. You know, you're here today, you can testify to that. You know, my race might turn to be really difficult because I'm dealing with issues of my own and my own family. And the running, it gets difficult. You know, you and I know people that they have started a Christian race, and at one time it was too much and they quit. We know some that have quit. We know some that the difficulty is just becoming hard and hard. We know some that it just, they're on the edge of quitting. They don't know if they have the strength to continue running the Christian race. At times, you and I might feel very good. We're progressing. We're doing well, you know, in our walk with the Lord, in our own lives. We're doing so well because, you know, things are going well with us. You know, bills are getting paid, everything. I mean, you know, Christian, and I'm growing in the faith. It feels like you're running well. But then next week, something changes, and now it turns out to be difficult for many of us to run this race that the Lord has given to us. Like I said, perhaps you know people, they have stopped running the race. They stopped following Jesus because it got too difficult. The question that I want to wrestle with this morning is, where do you find the motivation to keep on running? Where do you find this motivation to say, you know what, regardless of how difficult it is, I'm going to keep on pressing on? You know, many of us started this Christian race in different countries. Many of you started the Christian race not too long ago. But regardless when you started, I mean, you know, the starting is just that, starting. We have not finished it yet. And so from the moment you start to when you're going to finish your race, there's a lot that can happen. Many of us, you know, like I said, we know people that they started running the race. Many of you perhaps started running this race in a different church, and you're here today. What we're talking about, many of you were Christians in different places, and now you're here. So your Christian race brought you here. You're running with us now. But many of us, we started, you know, in different states, different countries, and now we're running here in Staten Island. We do not know where God's going to send us next, where we're going to be running it in months and years. But regardless, our job is to keep on running. But, you know, it can be difficult, and we need to know that. The question will be, where do we find the motivation to keep on running, regardless of the issues that I go through, regardless of the pain that I'm going through? Where do I find the motivation? Where do you get the encouragement and the strength to run your Christian race? Now, we can find a lot of ideas and help through the author of Hebrews, because he wrote to Christians that they were going through a lot. Their race, it turned out so difficult that many of them had lost their homes. Many of them lost their lives. Many of them, family members, were saw in two. When the author of Hebrews write to them and say, like, let me encourage you to keep on running, regardless of what you see going on around. I mean, we see that even in our own society. We don't know. I mean, Facebook is a mess right now. People, you know, with the whole immigration things and people just coming up. And it's like, that's part of your race now. And you and I have a choice to make. Like, we're going to get into the whole hodgepodge of what's going on, or are we just going to do something else? This is part of running the race. So the author of Hebrews writes to Christians, because they were going through a severe time. They were going through a really difficult time, trials and persecution. That running the race was truly, truly difficult. Maybe not as difficult as some of us are going through right now. However, he motivated them to continue running, to keep running with perseverance. And this is what he told them. I want to take you to Hebrews chapter 12 so we can find out what can we do to encourage ourselves to keep on running even when the running gets tough, even when it's hard to run, because a lot of things happen into our lives. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. He started with the word therefore. Therefore, what it's a connecting word according to the English grammar, like it's connecting what he already told you before. Therefore means so, or because of what I told you, so that. So he already talked to them about chapter 11, which is the faith passage. And now chapter 12, he starts saying, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not resisted to the point of shedding your own blood. So the writer of Hebrews is encouraging these Christians that were going through severe time to how to run with perseverance. And the first thing that he says, you want to run well, but you need to keep in mind those who ran before you. Since we're surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, therefore let us run the race marked out for us. You and I have people that have run this race for a long time. Many of those perhaps are already gone. You know, when you go, therefore, the cloud of witnesses that the author of Hebrews is talking about is chapter 11. The 11th chapter of Hebrews is all about the faith chapter, people call it, because it's by faith. Abraham did that. By faith, Noah. By faith, Moses. By faith, Rahab. I mean, I call that passage the faith hall of fame chapter. They're hall of famers right there in terms of faith, that their example of faith is worth of admiration. You know, because he said, since we're surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, their faith was an example to us. They ran the race. And in fact, I'm running the race today because they ran it before I started. I started running because these people, Staten Island Christian Church, you know people that were here a long time ago before you came, and they were running the race. Many of them are already dead. But nonetheless, the example that how they ran their race, they're always going to stick to you in your head, because to you, they always be an example of faith. Somebody who was running well, regardless of the issues that they were going through in this life. So the author of Hebrews says, therefore, since we're surrounded, we have a fan club cheering you on. Since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance, endurance, determination, the race marked out for you. This race already being marked out for you and I by our Lord Jesus Christ. So the first thing you and I need to understand is, I'm running a race, but there are people that already ran it. I'm in this race, but I have role models. I mean, even the athletes, when they enter this, because somebody else ran it, and they said, you know, you represented it many years ago. Now it's my turn to do it. But I want to represent my country, my nation well. And the same thing when it comes to running the Christian race. You're here today because somebody ran. Part of his race was you. They told you about the gospel message. You believed and you were included in that race. And now you're running because somebody else encouraged you many, many years ago. And so it's like, keep on doing. You look back and you consider them. These are my role model. They are in my Hall of Fame. They're in my book of Hall of Famers in terms of what it means to be a Christian woman or man. These are the cloud of witnesses that you and I have. We all have people. And so right now, maybe you're thinking about those ones that you consider them, you know, thank you, because he or she ran so well. And I look to them and it's like, they are my example today. That's the cloud of witnesses that you all. So how do you run well? Always remember those who ran before you started. Their faith, their example of what it means to be a Christian individual. Now, what's the other thing that is going to help you and I to run well? Is that we have to throw away anything that hinders your progress. Look what he says. Since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. Get rid of anything that hinders your progress. And also the sin that easily entangles. So there's a lot of things in our running our race that's going to keep you from running well. Some translations use the word, throw away the weight that's weighing you down. In order for you to, whatever it is, you and I, since we have separate race, even though we're together in a marathon running, I cannot run your race for you. You cannot run mine. You, each one of us have areas, those things that might be keeping you from running well. They are keeping you from advancing, from progressing in the race. It can be relationships, entertainment. You know, in today's age, 21st century, we have the internet. And that can be a great thing. But for many of us, it can keep us from really connecting with God because we don't have time now. I've canceled couples, marriage couples, that Facebook is an issue in their relationship because the husband spent too much time on Facebook and then there's no quality. Amazing things. So you see, that's hindering the relationship. And it can be a great thing, but anything can become a hindrance. So he said, throw anything that's keeping you from running well. And you and I can identify those areas. It can be relationships. I know people, they have to change their friends because their friends were not motivating them to run the way Christ told you to run. And you set those friends aside. Say, sorry, I love you, but we have in different categories. You know where I stand in that issue. And sometimes you have to change your friends. Because if they're not helping you progress as a Christian individual, then it's time to throw off everything that hinders you. I've seen people, even in their own families, because you're the only one Christians there, they kind of treat you already like the outsider. You know, and so in a sense, and sometimes in terms of running the race, you cannot just wait for them to tell you how. You have to make the choice. Sometimes it can be entertainment. We live in the age of the entertainment. We like to be entertained. If the sermon doesn't make me laugh, it's not good. It's not a good sermon, right? So it's like this whole idea that, you know, again, I love entertainment, but I have to understand that I cannot let that thing dictate how I'm going to run the Christian race. I cannot let those things get in my way of my relationship with God. Then I had to let him go. Get rid of those things that hinder you or those things that are keeping you from running well the Christian race. Anything that doesn't help you advance in your race, you had to make the choice. You had to just let him aside. You know, our friendship is not support. I talked to some of our friends in the softball team, and you hear like they say, you know, I got so much negativity, man, and just like all of a sudden, like I'm feeling the same way, and it's like at that moment you realize eventually that's gonna start affecting you and influencing you the wrong way. At that time, you realize, you know what? If I'm gonna be honest to my Lord in the race that I'm running, I had to let him go. I had to because you know they're not helping me progress in my walk, in my running the race. So he says. The word there is like everything that hinders. It can be anything for you and I that will keep you from running the Christian race. And what I mean by that is keeping you from becoming better disciple of Jesus. Anything that's obstructing you or hindering you from being better disciple of Christ, be a better Christian woman, or husband, a wife. I mean, anything that's keeping you, that the author of Hebrews says, throw it aside. You know, you don't see runners, they have the swimmers, they have to cut their hair and they get these things because the hair can get in the way of swimming faster. And they adjust. Runners, I mean, they don't run wearing jeans. Have you ever seen a marathon runner wearing jeans and shorts? Because, you know, I gotta move fast. So anything can keep me from advancing. So I had to just take the hoodie off because that's not going to be good for my race right now. So I've got to move forward and something is keeping me. Now, the other thing that the author of Hebrews says that can keep you and I from running well is sin in our lives. And the picture that he has is sin that so easily entangles us. And I always picture this guy like with a spider web, like Spider-Man got you and you try to flee away. Like that's what sin does to us. Sin is never going to go away, by the way. You know, so he said, let us set aside anything that's keeping you from running well. And the sin that so easily entangles us. And that's really the picture that I was able to find on Google, like kind of that captures that event. You're trying to progress, but something is pulling you down. Sin in our lives. You know, when there's sin in our lives, we're going to have guilt, shame, all those things. And sometimes you feel so guilty and so shameful, so dirty, just like, God doesn't love me anymore. You know, I'm so dirty. And it's like, and God said, I love you. But I'm telling you, give him to me so I can free you from that weight. Sin is weighing you down. And until we're able to give those sinful attitudes and things to the Lord, we're never going to be able to be free. So the author of Hebrews says, you want to run well the Christian race? Throw away anything that hinders you and the sin that so easily is going to grab you and entangle you so that you do not progress. You know, sin, you feel shameful. So, oh, Lord, just, my friends, I think Christian people, we should have this, we should adopt this attitude, always confessing our sins to the Lord. That's what he taught us in the Lord's Prayer. In the model prayer, it says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. That we should adopt this attitude every time we pray, that we should, Lord, forgive me because, yes, I violated your law this week, even through my action, through my mind, so that sin doesn't become that thing that's going to keep us from running. It almost kept Peter from running. After Peter denied Jesus, he thought he was over. Jesus had to come back and remind him and say, hey, do you love me? But get back on track. And Peter thought he'd never be forgiven by the Lord. Like many of us, perhaps something you've done, they realize, like, I'm too dirty and too filthy for God to love me. And he says, I love you, and I'm here to cleanse you up. I'm here to cleanse you with my blood. So let us throw aside anything that is keeping you from advancing, from progressing, and also the sin that so easily entangles. So, Christian, we should always adapt this idea of confessing it to the Lord. That's what Paul told the Corinthians, even in 1 Corinthians 11. He says, examine yourself before you even partake of communion. We should always that. But, you know, the problem we have in our society, and many churches too, is that we pray, but you never hear, like, forgive us our sins. It's more like, Lord, I need this. Lord, please, keep me safe. Do that. And never it's like, Lord, I really violated you in thought. I really violated your law. I really sinned against you, and forgive me in order for me to be cleansed by. So sin is going to keep you stuck. Just like that picture. You try to advance. It's like he's pulling you. You know how it is when you're swimming against the current. You're not going to advance very much. You're going to get tired, weary. And the author of Hebrews reminding us, in order for you and I to run well, we need to first remember those who ran before you, the example they have. Throw away anything that's keeping you from progressing. Also, that includes sin that so easily entangles you. Like I said, someday we're running so well, and then temptation will creep in us, and it's like there's sin right there. So he said, be aware of that, but just throw him away, throw it aside. Look what he says. And let us, this several times he said, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. My friends, you want to run well? You really want to run to the point that God will be proud of you? The other thing you need to do is keep your focus on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You see, those athletes that came, you know, when they went through the preparation and things, because they realized, I want to represent my country. My country, nobody talks about them, but, you know, if I win gold medal, everybody will be talking about it after I'm done. So they train, and that's the goal that they have in running, in participating in the marathon or at the Olympics, to represent their nation well. And that's their focus. See, basketball players, I mean, many of you that know me, I'm big with sports. Like, when they get to the free throw line, if you are playing, if you're not the home team that day, you got people doing all kinds of things over there, so you miss a shot. You know, and people showing their belly, you know, and things. I mean, all kinds of things to distract you. But then his goal is, I got to get the ball through the hoop. And they learn to put up with distraction. I told you the story. I've never been golfing one time, and somebody invited me to golf. I did not know that when you go golfing, you don't talk. I thought that we were just going to hang out. You know, I'm going there with my friends. And I'm just, hey, man, this is awesome. We're having a great time. And I'm talking when they're getting ready to swing, and the guy's looking at me. He's getting angry. It's like, did I do anything wrong? I just learned that you don't talk when somebody's getting ready to swing. You know, when you see people talk, I mean, everybody's quiet. And I said to the guy, well, it doesn't matter. You talk to me. I'm used to baseball. People, shouting. You know, you can do whatever, but I'm concentrating on what I'm about to do. But for them, you got to be quiet because I got to concentrate on my swing. And I learned the hard way. Nobody told me that you don't talk. I thought we were just going to talk to each other, hang out, friends, buddies. No. When it comes time to swing, you get quiet. And I just learned, you know. So there's so many things that might distract us in terms of running the race. But we got to keep our eyes on Jesus. There's a lot of Satan's going to do anything to distract you, to get you off the track. And you know many stories of people that, you know, they're limping and they're progressing. It's hard, difficult, but they finish because they know that this is the goal that I have. Whatever people are booing, I mean, you know, they do that to athletes. Like, but they say, I got to continue to do my thing. I got to be focused on my goal. For Christians, you and I, it says that we are to keep our eyes on Jesus. And I love that. I love what he says about Jesus. He says Jesus is the pioneer, the founder. He's the one who started our faith, and he's going to finish it. Keep your eyes on Jesus, he said, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Jesus Christ is who started salvation, and he will finish it. He's the author, the pioneer of our faith. Perfecter, the word there is like completion. He's going to perfect it. He's going to make it complete at the end of the day. So why do you and I need to keep our eyes on Jesus? Because he says, consider him, Jesus. Look what he says about him. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Jesus had his mind on finishing his mission. You know, he started the race. And his race was about 3 years, 3.5 years. And he always said, my food is to do the will of God. Like, this is my mission. I'm going to finish it. So for the joy set before him, because he knew there was going to be a tremendous joy at the end when he came back from life. He came back from the dead. He finished his race. And he even said it at the cross. He says, it is finished. He says, Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, he already knew the goal was going to bring a lot of joy to the disciples. Because he even said to them, you might mourn eventually, but your mourning will turn into dancing. And it happened after he resurrected from the dead. So for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He endured the shame, the pain, the nails. He endured all those things because he knew at the end of the day, at the end of that mission, it was going to be a tremendous joy. And salvation will be accomplished. So my friends, you and I, when we are weary and we're tired, because man, some days it's just hard dealing with people. Some days it's just your race is just like, man, Lord, please. Many of you are ready, like so ready to throw the towel. Consider Jesus. Think about Jesus, what he had to endure to bring salvation for you and I. Man, I mean, he endured the cross. And he says, his shame and agony. Look what he says. Scorning his shame and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you would not grow weary and lose heart. Some of us can be role models for other Christians, but we're going to fail each other. That's the reality. Here's a better role model for all of us. That's Jesus Christ. Paul said to a whole bunch of churches one time, follow me as I follow the example of Jesus. Don't just follow me because I might let you down tomorrow. Follow Jesus. When you see me striving to get closer to Jesus, that, my friend, follow. But don't follow my mistakes and my inadequacies. Follow my urge to get closer to Jesus. That's what you and I should be following. So consider him who endures such opposition from sinful men so that you and I do not grow weary. You want to know what wakes me up in the morning? Jesus. Because, you know, being a minister can be tough, in case you didn't know. Because you're always going to go through oppositions and things, and people might not like what you have to say. But you want to know what wakes me up in the morning, what keeps me going? Jesus. Because if I did not have him, I would not be here today. I would not be preaching. So consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you do not grow weary. You and I might grow weary. Perhaps you are right there at that moment right now. Look at Jesus. Fix your eyes on him. Because he won't let you down. He has never failed, and he will not start doing that now with you. So as you're running the race, look at those, yes, great examples of men and women that ran before us. As we're running the race, in order for us to run well, with endurance and determination, we have to let aside those things that's keeping us from getting close to God, from keeping us from advancing and progressing. In order for you and I to run well, we need to fix our eyes on Jesus because he's our author. He started our salvation and one day he will complete it. He's the ultimate role model. And it's like, consider him. When people are letting you down, think about Jesus. When he gets, the going is getting tough, how tough do you think it was for Jesus? He cannot even carry his own cross. But he still continued moving because he had a mission to accomplish. At one time, he could have said, I had enough. But he didn't, because he realized, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, my friend. Whatever you and I are enduring, he says right there, none of us have resisted sin to the point of death. None of us have gone through something as severe as Jesus or Paul even. So we can resist. He said it in the following verse 4. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your own blood. So consider Jesus when it's getting tough and you're running your race. And I guarantee you, when you keep your eyes on him, there was a man named Peter. He was able to walk because he kept his eyes on Jesus. Out of your adrenaline, this Christian band, they don't sing anymore. They have a song that says, if you keep your eyes on Jesus, you will walk on water. I'll be alright when the storm comes crashing. I'm not afraid, he said, because if I keep my eyes on Jesus, I will walk on water. I will run well. As long as you keep your focus, don't let anything distract you from the main goal, the main focus, and that should always be Jesus. He got to be a role model in terms of running a race. He had a race to run, and he finished it. That's why he says, because the joy set before him, he endured the agony, the pain, the ridicule that people have, the slapping, the piercing, everything he endured for the sake of saving people. That's why he's the author and perfecter of our faith. Consider Jesus. Keep your focus on Jesus. Now, in 1996, in the Summer Olympics, they took place in Atlanta, Georgia. In 1996, there was a marathon runner from Pakistan named Wasiki. And he entered the race. He was 20 years old. Bazar Wasiki from Afghanistan, Summer Olympics, 1996, Atlanta, Georgia. You can Google that. And there's a little video over there, like for 2 minutes, that you can see when you Google it. Because what happened to that man? There were 111 runners that day. Now, he was 20 years old when that happened, 1996. And he came. That's the first time Afghanistan sent somebody to represent them, to represent the nation. And so he was so excited, but he had a problem. He had an injury that happened before, but regardless of the injury, he said, I want to enter the race. So he did. Very soon, the marathon started. Everybody's running, and then he began to feel the effect of the injury, and he was just a man. He was just like limping through the race. The race ended, and he was still moving, limping. He was the last. He got the last place. 111th runners. He was the 111th to cross the line. By the time he came to the finish line, people were already setting up and setting the stage because, you know, for the congratulation part. And people look back, and that man is still moving over there on the track. He's moving, advancing, you know, running. And people want to know, why are you doing that? What is it that you try to prove, man? They already announced who the winners are. Quit. Stop running. He was still running, you know. And so, like I say, you wait to watch that video. So touching, because people were setting up the, you know, like I said, the stage, and finally people just had compassion on him, and they got a one of those ribbons just to put it aside so that he just come. You know, at the end of the day, he says that he came 2 hours after the last runner. Then 110th came, and then he waited 2 hours to come through the finish line. But he came. He went. Now, at the end of the day, the reporters, you know, they want to just, what is this guy from Afghanistan trying to do? They tried to interview him. This is what he said. He says, I am Bazar Wasiki, and I am from Kabul. I represent my country to the world. To see that Afghanistan is living, has not died after 16 years of war. It is not important, he said, to be the first, second, or 20th. What's important is to come here and finish. It's almost like he said, my country did not send me just to go and start a race. They sent me there to finish a race. And that's exactly what I'm going to do, regardless of the pain, regardless of everybody's already finished, and I'm still running with this pain in my side. He says, because I'm representing my country, And you know, I want to put my country on the radar now here. He says, it's not important to start, but it's important to finish. And he finished that. See, this man knew what it means to represent a nation. He knew what it means to represent my country. My friends, you and I need to know what it means to represent Jesus in running our race. You and I are representing him, and he expects us not just to start, but to finish. To finish our race. You and I represent God in this world, and he has given us this race to finish. You and I need to run with determination. Even when at times it's painful, even if somebody finishes before you do, keep on moving. Do not stop. Keep on progressing in that race. Even for you, it might be hard, but just that's an example of somebody who, because they said, my goal is my country. Our goal is to keep our eyes on Jesus. Even when you're limping, even when something has really got you hamstring, keep on moving. Finish your race. The Apostle Paul wrote a letter to his disciple Timothy. And Paul was in prison already. His race took him to prison. A lot of punishment he went through. And at the end of the day, Paul writes this letter to Timothy to let him know, I'm not coming out of here. My race is going to end up in prison. They get me out to kill me. And he said these words to Paul, to Timothy. He says, now I feel I'm being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure has come. I have fought the fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness that the righteous judge will give to me, but not only to me, but to all those who are waiting for his appearing. Could you, my friend, can we say like Paul, I have kept my faith regardless of what's going through. I have finished my course. I still had to finish it. I've been battling the fight, but the Lord is still waiting. I mean, we got to keep our eyes on him so that we at the end of the day say, you know, now I'm just going to be rewarded by the Lord because I have finished your race. Your race is not done yet. If you're here today, we're here today, we're still running. And we know what we need to do to run with perseverance, regardless of what we go through in this life.